Amen. 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 Galatians chapter 5. I've been on both sides of that coin. Been on the side when He wasn't there in my life. And I've been on that side where He has been in my life. And I like this side a whole lot better. Amen. When you're going through it, there's no other person you'd rather have around than Him. Amen. I can say that firsthand. And I like saying it. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to continue our study. Amen. I know this has been a big front porch, Andrew. Amen. We've already had 2 weeks of trying to get on the porch and in the front door. We're probably going to have two more, but it's a big study. It's a very important study, very needed study in this day that we live in today. And so Galatians chapter 5, I hate to dive right in the middle because Galatians and Ephesians are the two times we see this phrase, the fruit of the Spirit. And contextually, those books are extremely important. I think I touched on it last time. The church of Ephesus needed to understand this. This was a new concept. The Spirit of God did not indwell people. He came upon people. Somebody might argue and say, well, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit. That's fine. God can do what He wants to do. But this is a new concept that Galatian church was struggling with. They were trying to keep the law, thinking that was what would take and help them. And Paul said to that church, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, having begun in the Spirit, their spiritual relationship with Christ began in the Spirit. Are ye now made perfect by the flesh, keeping the law? And the church at Ephesus had struggles as well, and we touched on that last week. That was a very, very wicked city. And young Timothy, with all of his struggles, was placed there. And Paul said, Timothy, you got to abide here. Abide still at Ephesus. Ephesus needs you. Why does Ephesus need you? Because you have something, Timothy. You have hope inside of you. And that hope is the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the only thing that's going to change somebody else's life. Good works and morals and all that stuff is not going to change somebody. The Spirit of God indwelling sinful man is the only thing that's going to change somebody. And so Galatians, we could read the whole book, but we're going to cover the whole book in our study. But I want to pick up right there in verse 16 of chapter 5. It says, Paul says to this church, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think I said this last time, Sam's coming to the piano. Did I give the illustration Wednesday, or did I give it with this about Bob Newhart? And coming to Bob Newhart, that show, and getting counseling, and she was struggling with something, and he, what's your advice? And he said, stop it. We have a stopper that's built inside of us. You have to trust Him, though. Something overtakes you. He says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he begins to explain to them, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And I've said this before, and people will argue this out. If you continue in something, it is a clear indication that you don't have the something that can stop you. If you can just continue on with no ramifications, and there should be, if there's no discipline, if there's no corrective action taken, the Bible says, as Hebrews says, then you're ye bastards and not sons. What parent doesn't discipline their child? What parent doesn't? And God is a parent. He's our Father, and He will discipline us for corrective behavior. If you can do that and go away with that, and many will argue what corrective behavior is, I'm going to tell you what, you'll know it when you get taken to the woodshed. You will never be disciplined by... You might be disciplined by an earthly parent, and you go away from it going, what was that all about? Man, what did I do? I didn't even get to plead my case. But you will never walk away from God and Him discipline you, and you scratch your head and say, I wonder what that was for. He is going to make it very... Whether you're reading your Bible or not, He is going to make it very evident. Unless you've gotten to the place where you've just grieved the Spirit of God so much that He can't even shake you enough for you to hear why that is. There's been many times I've been disciplined by the Lord. And I don't sit there and go, well, I wonder what that was for. It's, he tells me before it ever happened. I tried to do that with my children. I probably did. But I always made sure when I spanked them, disciplined them, whatever it was, are you fully aware of why I'm doing this? Because if you don't, what's the correction? He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. I think I mentioned before, Charles Stanley wrote a book many years ago. I think I gave the illustration of my spiritually waiting for the CBD book club to deliver my book. I thought that was spiritual. Well, 1 month they delivered the Charles Stanley book, Winning the War Within. And I'll never forget that. That was probably one of the most powerful books that I got as a young Christian. Changed my life. Understanding the concept that there's a battle that's taking place. And the longer you stay out there, the longer you live in disobedience to God or live out there separate from the promises of God, the harder it will be for you to overcome those things. If you've never tasted of that stuff, if you've never dabbled in that stuff, young people, and I know most of them are downstairs, but we have teenagers up here, don't get upset with mom and dad that they push back on things. Please don't do that. I wish there was more people in my life stopping me from certain things. There was nobody restraining me. So whatever my little sinful flesh went after as a young person, I just dove into it, not knowing that later on those would be the things that would cripple me, that I'd have to fight. And so be careful with that, that you cannot do the things that you would. And in that book was this poem, and I memorize it, Two Natures Beat Within. Romans talks about those two natures. Two natures beat within my chest. The one is evil, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. Paul said he was he battled the flesh. I mean, he despised it. He said, a wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? He hated it. He despised it because it severed or it hindered his relationship with Christ. You can't walk in the flesh and have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. It wars against each other. Two natures beat within my chest. The one is evil, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. You feed the flesh, and your flesh is going to take over. And then you're going to sit there and go, I don't know what's going on with me. I can tell you what's going on with you. You are feeding that flesh. You are making that dead flesh come back to life again. Or you can resist that flesh through the Spirit of God. He equips us, He helps us, He compels us, He convicts us. Paul said to the church of Corinthians, the love of God constraineth us. You don't want to do it. I have children. I've heard one of them say before that, you know, sometimes when I go to do something, I hear Dad's voice, and it ought to be that way. Dad, if you know the Scriptures and you share those Scriptures with your family, they will listen to your voice until they're out of the home, and then all of a sudden there's a transfer that takes place. Now God's voice becomes a whole lot more prevalent than your voice. Yours doesn't fade away. It's just a reminder. My dad, it's the schoolmaster, if you will, that I was talking about. Verse 18, he says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, watch this now, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is connected to verse 17, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. If you can continue on a sinful lifestyle, I'm not saying the believer doesn't sin, but the closer they walk with God, they sin less. They're convicted of it. I've said many times before, keep short what? Accounts with God. Don't let that thing harbor for a while. He knoweth, the psalmist said, He knoweth our frame, but that we are dust. We're feeble. How many times I go to God and say, here I am again. Here I am again. Anybody else besides me? Here I am again. God, you'd think by now I'd figure this thing out. But if I'm not walking in the Spirit, it is natural for the flesh to take over. We're in this flesh, and in this flesh dwells no good thing. Then he shifts over this dichotomy, this contrast, if you will. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There doesn't need to be a law. I said before, if I truly love my wife, they don't have to be contacting me and saying, have you paid your, what is it, alimony? Is that what that one's called? Is that alimony? If I truly love my family and my children, they're not garnishing my wages to pay child support. That, the law is making me do that because my natural love for them is not overriding that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You back up to Galatians 2 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. The Bible says, I am crucified. Paul makes a declaration. I am crucified with Christ. He says, I'm crucifying this flesh. Just as Christ died for all of our sins, I'm crucifying that flesh. I'm putting it to death. And it is, you have, it just happens. I don't know what's going on. I can tell you what's going on. You are letting the flesh override. You're letting the flesh take over. And Matt didn't touch on this basically, but the more you walk in the Spirit, it'll be easier. You'll begin to say, I can do this. It's where Paul said to the Philippian church, he says, I can what? Do all things through my own personal knowledge and strength. No, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And where do we get that strength from? The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not rolling around on a floor. It's not chanting in some unintelligible language. It's not popping somebody with your jacket and healing them and all that kind of stuff. It is equipping us to live in this dark world. If salvation was just going to heaven, then God would have taken us when we got saved. He is equipping us to stay here and be able to navigate this life with all of its obstacles and all of its temptations. Why? So that other people can see, how in the world are you doing this? I'm just good at this, man. Man, I'm just good at this, man. Watch me. I go to church and I go to Sunday school and, man, I'm good. No. You recognize the power of the Holy Spirit and you say, watch, I've crucified the flesh. I'm trying. I'm working on it. I want to do that. I've said 1,000 times, I want to punch people. I want to punch people. But that don't get you anywhere. You have to crucify that flesh and suppress that and allow the Holy Spirit. That's not what God does. And it is a battle, whatever that battle may be. And some person's battle, I know a lot of times in church we say, I can't believe he did that. Well, that might not be what you struggle with, but you struggle with something. And it ain't for us to sit in each church pew and go, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe you did that. And so we all just sit here and say, I can't believe. No. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Put them to death. I can't do this. I think Libby and I were having a conversation not too long ago, and I said to her, I said, listen, I do not do the things that I do in this home because of my, for you. You are the result of it. I do it for God. If I don't lie, I don't lie because I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to lie to God. If I drink or cuss or spit or chew or run around with those that do, I'm not doing it for somebody else. I'm doing it because of my personal relationship with God. I don't want to hurt Him. I don't want to offend Him. That's where it begins, because if you don't have that relationship there, all of this is going to be immaterial. All of this is going to be immaterial. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm saved. Okay, if you're saved, then walk in it. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. And I just explained that. Ah, look at how good I do this thing, man. Why aren't you as good of a Christian as I am? That's not how this thing works. It's not how it works. And then we heard from Brother Baldwin, it was the last Sunday, he dealt with chapter 6. That's the impetus. That's how we're able to bear somebody else's burdens. And Brother Matt touched on it in the deacons meeting, that you might need a spotter when you start lifting weights. I don't want to take your thunder, Brother Matt, or wrestling, or whatever the illustration was, but sooner or later, you know what's going to be expected? You're going to be expected to bench press that on your own. You're going to be expected to do that on your own. And then the other passage of Scripture that ties right into there where this phrase is mentioned is chapter 5 in Ephesians. And he says this, Paul to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be not once named among you as become a saints." And we see the story in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, I believe it was, where Paul was saying what was taking place in the church. And he says, that ought not even be mentioned. And I understand why a lot of times people say, "Well, I don't go to church. I live next door to a Christian. I work with a Christian. I do this with a Christian. I know this Christian." I used to say it all the time, "If that's being a Christian, then I don't want nothing to do with it." Until God convicted me. God, you know what God did? You know how God convicted me? He brought a man that walked in the Spirit. He brought a man that denied the flesh. When I was cussing as a result of something, he wasn't. When I was upset about a situation that took place, that he was in a similar situation, I saw his reaction versus my reaction. I said, "How can he? How's he any stronger than me? Where's his self-will?" And so on and so forth. It convicted me, and I asked him, "How are you doing this?" And I'm glad he didn't take credit for it. He pointed me to the enabler, to the Holy Spirit that equips us and allows us to live in this ungodly world. He says, "Walk in love," verse 2, "as Christ also had loved us and hath given himself for us an offering of sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient." He says, "But rather giving him thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance." And he references that. You can't do this. You cannot continue in that lifestyle and that behavior and think you're saved. "Hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness." He says, yeah, you used to be darkness. That's what you used to do. Paul said to the church of Corinth, he listed all these things out, and then he said, "And such were some of you." That was an old behavior. It's not a new behavior. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because we have a new hope. God lives in us, and he helps us. He convicts us. He compels us. "For ye were sometimes darkness," verse 8, "but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That doesn't mean shake your bony finger in their face. Just being who you are will do more than enough. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly." I heard a preacher say one time, walking circumspectly is like a cat walking on a picket fence with two Rottweilers in either yard. You're afraid to fall because you don't want to be devoured. Some are not anymore. Some brandish it in church. Some say, "I have a liberty in Christ." That's not the liberty that Christ was speaking about. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine." He uses a comparison here, a very important comparison. As wine and alcoholic beverages control a person by how much you consume, or the more that you consume, the less you're in control of your own self. Amen? I don't see anywhere where there can be social drinking in the Bible. The first sip as a police officer, Brother Baldwin, first sip, what? Affects you. But the more that you drink that, the more that drink controls you. And guess what the alternate to that is? The more you consume and allow the Holy Spirit to live and manifest Himself in your life, the more He is able to control. He says, be not drunk with wine, verse 18, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then, just like Galatians, where it moved into chapter 6, and bear ye one another's burdens, now we see the outcropping of the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Not me. Not me. That's not what I'm going to do. That's Bible. We're to submit ourselves one to another. And Jacob preached on that with unity. Let's pray, see how far we can get this morning. Amen. Father, we love You today. Thank You. Thank You for these truths. Thank You for a Bible that tells us of these truths. Thank You for the church that teaches these truths. And Lord, thank You for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God that helps us and aids us in carrying out these truths. I ask You to help us today. Teach us, Lord, from the Scriptures. This world needs, it doesn't need a new translation. It doesn't need a new Messiah or a new religion. It just needs those that know You live it. And so, Lord, help us to understand, just like the Galatian church struggled with it, or the church at Ephesus, and everybody in the Bible has, help us to walk in the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know You as Savior, they're trying to make it in this world all by themselves. And it is impossible to do that. And so, Lord, may You speak to their heart. May something that's said today, something read from the passage of Scripture, something I might share, You use that in such a way to convict and compel that person and do that work in church that man cannot do. We can only speak the truth. You are the one that can transform somebody in truth. So help us, I plead this morning. For those that are walking in the flesh, we pray that something to be said, that they can walk in the Spirit, that may attempt it, try harder, press forward towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Whatever situation we're in this morning, Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us. We ask You all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, in regards to our study in the fruit of the Spirit, I have laid, I'm the one laying it. We've laid a large foundation, if you will. And I'm still not going to get to the first fruit this morning. I'm still laying the foundation. I mean, this is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. You have to die daily. You have that phrase, I say it all the time, let us love one another. Let us bear one another's burdens. That is a teaching, and God is saying, you got to allow Me to do something. It's who's going to sit on the throne of your life. You have a throne in your life, and you are going to sit on that throne, and we can see that depicted in Old Testament pictures many times. You are either going to sit on that throne, or you're going to allow God to sit on that throne. And the sooner you let God sit on that throne through the work of the Spirit of God, the easier life is going to become, Michael. But if you want to, I'll sit there today. Well, let's see how that goes for you. And if He lives inside of you, that He's going to make it very difficult. He's going to make it very difficult. You know, no matter who the singer is that says, Jesus, take the wheel. He should have had the wheel to begin with. You didn't need to ask Him to take the wheel. He's got the wheel. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Problem is, the longer you do it, the more prone you are to say, I'm in control of this thing. And we should be teaching this down in children's church. The sooner you submit to authority, the easier it's going to be. But I don't like authority. I understand it. The flesh doesn't like authority. Authority has abused me before. I get it. I understand it. That happens. That doesn't negate the truth of the Scripture. Submit yourselves one to another. And so we've laid a very large foundation, and I don't think that is a bad thing. I believe we must cover as much as possible in order for us to understand this very needed concept, or should I say ministry today. The Holy Spirit has a ministry. He should have a ministry in your life personally and in your life publicly. People ought to see God working in you. People ought to sit there and say, there's something different about you. What is it? The natural man received not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him, but he'll see something and he'll allow you. That maid in 2 Kings 5, is it 2 Kings 5? Doesn't name her. She's insignificant. She was just a tool for God to use to get to Naaman. That's all she was. She was insignificant. You and I are insignificant. He just wants to use us and let him live in us in such a way, die to self, and let the Savior reign in your life on your throne that you're going to surrender to him so he can reach somebody else. Because if you're doing it yourself, you can't do it. It is impossible for you to do it. And so it's a much needed concept, or should I say ministry today. And thus, so far in our study, quick review, we've looked at the passages regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, the only time that phrase is used, the fruit of the Spirit. There's a whole lot of things that the Spirit does, but I want to just narrow it down to the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit, not plural. They all should be prevalent in your life. And you should be working on them. It's the... Remember the old Ed Sullivan show or whatever it was, they'd put that on and they'd get the little fiberglass rod and the plate and they get them going. They all come at the same time. Can you imagine? God puts them on your fiberglass stick. He gets them spinning. And then once he gets them spinning, you got to tend to them. Well, I'm not very gentle. It's just the way I am. People just need to accept that I'm not very gentle. I'm just not patient. No, that's an excuse. You're letting the flesh live. You're letting the flesh override things. People just need to accept me how I am. No, that's not how that works. Pastors do that enough already. Shake your little head. And you do it with me. Yeah, y'all shake your head with that one. And so the first thing we looked at was the passages regarding it. And I've not only narrowed it down to those two times they used it, but the two books, Galatians and Ephesians. As I stated at the beginning of the study, I'm not wanting to cover all the aspects of the work of the Spirit. I just want to look at specifically the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we will see what He does additionally, and the Spirit of God does do a lot of things additionally, but I want to eventually look at each of the nine fruit to see where we can yield to His desire in our lives to aid us in the journey. I said this before and I'll say it again. A tree that bears fruit does not consume that fruit for themselves. A tree that bears fruit is for other people to consume that. So you say, man, I really want to work on these fruit of the Spirit so people love me more. So they're patient with me more. So they're gentle with me more. That's not how it works. You want those things to be there so you can do that in other people's life. We have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, but we by nature, I think the Beatitudes, one of them is, blessed are the peacemakers. We ought to come into a situation and make peace with it. Even if somebody's wronged you. I remember when I first started learning this concept, Libby and I had to replace our, there was something with our heat pump on our house in South Carolina. And I know there was an aspect of it, not the whole thing, but there was an aspect of it, paid for. That was back, it wasn't Zelle and PayPal and all the things that are out there. You wrote a check and you went and paid that. And it came out, and you had a check register and all that kind of stuff. And I'll never forget that place just at the end of the road, and you turn towards, you're going to Clearwater. They sent me a notice that if I don't pay, I'm going to court. And I looked at my check register, and I was trying to find it. And I don't know if you're like me, and then anyways, banks do it for you now. I didn't keep the check register. And I had nothing to prove, but I went down there and pitched my case. On the way down there, though, I said this. If he doesn't believe me, then I'm going to have to give him that again. Because what's that passage of Scripture where it says, if he asks you of your coat, you give him? And I went down there. I'll never forget it. Man, that was when I was really just full of faith. And I went down there and I pleaded my case. And I said, I did this and I paid this. And he said, we must have missed it. Thank you. I went down there fully willing to, though. What took place? God overrode the situation and he shows out. Or you can go down there, stomp your foot, say, we'll go, I'll see you in court. I'll prove this one way or the other. See the difference in that? Aren't our court systems full? I watch these court shows because I'm a former police officer. It's amazing to me sometimes. I laugh sometimes when I look at them. It'll be resisting arrest, attempted murder, and everything else, and they'll say, released on 3 years probation. And I'm thinking, what in the world is happening to our society? We believe we can get away with anything anymore, and we're going to fight for it. The injustice of it. What if Jesus decided there was an injustice done to him that day at Calvary? Instead, he yielded God, to yield it up to God, and God used the man, Christ Jesus, to what? Convince that centurion, truly this is the Son of God. And so as I stated at the beginning of the study, I'm not wanting to cover all aspects of it, just the fruit of the Spirit and the nine fruit of the Spirit, to see where we can yield to His desire in our own lives to aid us in the journey. Then we've looked at the people regarding it. And again, Paul wrote to them specifically, so there is both a historical aspect, contextually, regarding these two churches, and a spiritual aspect, and yet it is as well meant for us today. Let me say this as well. The fruit of the Spirit is for saved folks, not lost folks. Yes, lost folks can benefit from those fruit in our life, but they will only have them when they surrender their lives to Christ and ask for His forgiveness. Now let me fast forward to the taking away of the church. It is going to be holy havoc when God raptures the church. Why? Because that is the light of the world. That is the salt of the earth. Salt preserves and light shines on darkness. And when that Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, Enoch walked with God and was not. We see Elijah in the chariot of fire. We see this picture in Scripture. We see in 1 Thessalonians 4. And we see in Revelation chapter 4 that it is whatever YouTube is saying, that is a doctrinal precedent that the church will be taken away. Tim LaHaye butchered it, but he was not following Scripture. Scripture clearly outlines it. When that is taken out of the way, it will be hell on earth. You think this road rage is bad now. You think crime's bad now. Wait till then. There's nothing to preserve it. There's nothing to stop it. And so we've looked at this is both a historical and a spiritual aspect, but it applies to us today. The fruit of the Spirit is not for lost folks. It is for saved folks. Yes, lost folks can benefit from those fruit in our life, but they will only have them when they surrender their lives to Christ and ask for forgiveness. And then we looked at the people who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Paul begins to define them, and we looked at them. I don't think we went too deep into them. Let me share them with you again. There is six distinct groups. I think the last time I mentioned four. There are six distinct groups that deal with the fruit of the Spirit in Scripture. The first one is carnal, not any particular order. Carnal simply means pertaining to the flesh, a life that is yielding to the flesh. That is a saved person that is acting carnal. It's not backslid. Backslid's not in the New Testament. That is carnal. You are either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and it is a battle every day. And it isn't for us to always get to this place where, well, I just had a bad day. Just everybody forgive me, I wasn't walking in the Spirit that day. No, without walking in the Spirit, there's ramifications for it, and that's being dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. The next people that we see regarding the fruit of the Spirit are saved. I use saved, I could have used in Christ, or Christ as in possessive, simply means they are His, and they have given their life to Christ, asked Him for forgiveness, and they have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Here's the next people regarding the fruit of the Spirit found in these passages of Scripture. Spiritual. Spiritual and saved are two different aspects of the new man, and we will soon discover as we study this out. Here's a passage that would define that. Verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's being spiritual. That's yielding to the Spirit's work in our life and allowing the Spirit to guide us and control us. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. It's natural for us to do those things, Ryan. But he says, when you yield to the Spirit, you won't fulfill those things. It's natural. Then the next person regarding the fruit of the Spirit is spouses. We see it went right into verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. After it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit and the differences and the battle between the two, he goes right into spouses. I don't know why he listed the wife first. I don't know why. Could have listed the husband first, but either way, they're submitting one to another. And he gives a whole lot more criteria for that husband than he does the wife. And let me say this in the order of the home. It's a whole lot easier to submit than it is to push. Submission is the safest place. Young people say, man, you just don't know how difficult it is in my house. Wait. Wait till you step out and it's bills and it's obligations and it's people. And the best time you're ever going to have in your life, people, young people, is at home. Lizzie does not know how great she has it right now. She doesn't. Charity does not know how good she has it right now. The longer you're in this thing, the more you have to yield to certain things. Spouses. I listed this because Paul goes into great depth in the context of the fruit of the Spirit to describe these positions, husband and wife. And why do I believe he addresses spouses specifically in the fruit of the Spirit? Because they are a picture and a pattern in the home of our relationship to Christ. I know a lot of people that think they're really knowledgeable in the Scriptures. Man, that is. And then all of a sudden you look at this passage of Scripture, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. I'm not competing with Matt Miller. I'm not trying to keep up with Jim Kuczynski. I'm trying to keep up with the pattern that was sent before me for Christ, how He did things. He is even in the process of right now going to prepare a place for me. He provides for me. He protects me. There's all different kinds of things that he does for me. If a husband's not doing that, he is a sorry excuse for a human being. And he is so far from being a biblical-based Christian that he doesn't even realize it. Thank you, Brother Jake. They are a picture and a pattern. The spousal relationship, husband and wife, my wife and I should demonstrate to this church what Christ and His bride look like. That's tough. And I have failed 1,000 times. I know many times we blame, I'm sorry, you want to know why our world is in a mess? Don't go looking directly into the church, rather look into the home. I know many times our school systems are so shot out right now. They're absolutely, yes, I know there's pockets of good schools, there's pockets of good teachers. But you know why our school system's shot out? It's not because there's not a better educational system. It's not because we don't have the best teachers in the world. We have terrible homes. We have terrible homes. When there is a father, mother, loving, Christ-like relationship in the home, it will make every other aspect of society better. I know many times we blame churches for the homes, but I contend our churches will only be as good as the homes that comprise them. Stronger homes will make stronger churches, and stronger churches will then in turn make stronger homes. And I'll add two more to that that I didn't last time we were together from when we started that I didn't list. People regarding the fruit of the Spirit, carnal, saved, spiritual, spouses. Then he gives us another people group, siblings. Noah, McKaylee, listen up. I'm going to get right in your lap this morning, little mama. All right? Can I say amen, Noah? Amen. There we go. We got one out of him. Paul addresses the children, and rightly so. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, what's that say? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now you're not to obey them with things that are not in the Lord. God would never ask certain things. Noah, I know McKaylee's bothering you. Just go over there and sock her in the mouth. I'm going to obey, Dad. No, that's not in the Lord. It's in the Lord, that obedience, not outside of that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. And mom and dad ought to know what's right. Again, you know why so many churches and societies are crumbling? Because mom and dad don't know what's right. They're watching CNN or C-SPAN or some other crazy thing or reading some book or whatever. Well, I just think this is right. No, you ought to know what's right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. If you are saved and a child in the home, it is just as much your obligation to surrender to the work of the Spirit in your life and manifest for the Spirit as it is your mom and dad's. You don't get a pass because you might not have good parents. I wasn't raised in a good home. I don't have to be a good Christian. Really? I don't find that in Scripture. Here's the last people group. Paul gave us carnal, saved, spiritual, spouses, and these are all in the context of studying out the fruit of the Spirit, spouses, siblings, and then this one. And again, Paul addresses this group of people as well, servants. You see in Ephesians 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient to them. Well, we don't have servants anymore. Paul speaks about being a slave. We don't have that anymore. We don't? Tell me what that looks like Monday then, when you go to work. Mike, you serve anybody? Oh, you're a police officer. You don't submit to anybody. Is that right? I hear people say this sometimes. You're a pastor. You don't submit to anybody. Oh, really? You'd be surprised how many people want to check on me and ask me this and that. We're to submit one to another. You'll never be in a place that you're not submitting to somebody else. You say, well, the President of the United States apparently doesn't submit to anybody else. Is that right? We have a three branches of government, and they are to submit one to another. You'll never be outside of that. If you are saved, then God wants to use you to reach someone else, and He will do that through the work of the Spirit in your life. Can I say this? There's people at your job that are lost, that you work for, and you know what they want to do? Is they want to see God. Was it Jacob and Laban? Laban was lost. Had Dagon, the half-man, half-fish god that was in his house, had two daughters. Jacob goes over there, and Jacob's trying to reach them. I told the guy I worked for one time, he said, man, I'll tell you what, my business has just been taking off. And I said, yeah, you know why? And he said, why? And I said, because I work for you. I knew it. Why? Because if you work for somebody, you are a blessing to that place you work for. You are a benefit to that man you're working for. And God will bless that situation because of you. But He's only going to do that. I'm going to need more Scripture than that. Joseph rose to the second in command in Egypt. Egypt was one of the greatest economical and financial societies of its time. And Joseph was second in command. Why? He didn't have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. He just obeyed God. And because of that, the Bible said, Matt, you were in Exodus. You keep going. Yesterday, you were in Exodus chapter 1. You keep going to Exodus chapter 3. And this is what the Bible says. And there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And then guess what took place? Hell on earth for the Israelites. You know why? Because that Pharaoh didn't have that relationship with Joseph. Your relationship at work, being filled with the Spirit of God, should change people's lives. If you've been saved any period of time and somebody hasn't come to Christ because of your position at work, then there's a problem. I would examine myself. I'd sit there and say, what is going on if somebody hasn't come to you, if somebody hasn't confided in you? Maybe they don't need to be saved, but if they're not helped, man, I really appreciate it. How many times I went to Rodney and asked him for advice without being saved because I knew that there was something different about him or Calvin Jeffcoat or any number of the other people I spoke to. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Not my boss. You don't know who I work for. In singleness of heart as unto Christ. You're not working for him. You're not working for her. You're working for Christ. Not with eye service. You know what that means, right? Hey, quick, boss is coming. Or the famous, I tell you what, does anybody not do this at work anymore? It's just, Libby and I were up to the nursing home the other day. They're literally just, everywhere you go, everybody's doing this. There ought to be something against that. Oh, well, the boss is coming. We can't look at our phones. That's eye service. Because you're only doing it when he sees you. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. I'm trying to think of that man's name. He's a deacon at Brother Dorsey's church. I preached on that maid about being the missions conference, and I said there ought to be missions in your work, missions in your worship, missions in your wealth, missions in your work. And he came up to me after the service and he said, "Man, I wish I would have understood all that when I owned my own company." He says, "I was really hard to work for, and I realize it now." People ought to want to enjoy working with you if you own a company and you're a Christian. "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Which then leads us to what we are looking at this week, and that is the perimeters regarding it. What areas of our life is the Lord wanting these fruit to affect? Is it just so I can be a better church member? Or does the work of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit travel or transcend outside of the church walls? So let's look at the perimeters of the fruit of the Spirit first. The first perimeter of the work of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is our personal walk. Really simple. As we begin to study this concept and the perimeters, meaning the bounds, the confines, the framework of the Holy Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit, we see it begins with our personal walk. Galatians 5, look at this. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Our personal walk. Galatians 5 and verse 16. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Verse 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Wait, is that the right? Chapter 5. I was in chapter 6. I'm sorry. Chapter 5 and verse 16. Sorry. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are this." And we had already read that passage of Scripture. Ephesians 5, we can read the whole passage of Scripture. He starts out in verse 1 of chapter 5 in Ephesians. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering." You keep going on, and there's several aspects of our walk that he's talking about. So the perimeters of the fruit of the Spirit are what? Our personal walk. We ought to see the Spirit of God in your personal walk. You ought to see the Spirit of God manifest itself, the nine fruit of the Spirit, in my life as well, in my personal walk. The next perimeter we find in our study is our partnered walk. We touched on that with the people regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Paul again details and describes what the partnered walk looks like, giving us no excuse but to heed Scripture. Galatians 6, and we read some of that, Galatians 6 and Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. Is that right? "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." We see the partnership there. And we see it as well in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, what? "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in some things. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And we see, not only is the perimeters of the fruit of the Spirit in our personal walk, but our personal walk ought to transfer over into our partnered walk. And then thirdly, the third perimeter is our parental walk. There's no part of our walk that is not and should not be affected by our walking in the Spirit and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what Paul stated to two churches regarding this. This is our parental walk. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and give them something to obey. They can do whatever they want to do. That's not giving them any kind of spiritual guidance. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't frustrate them. Don't aggravate them. Don't get them to the place where they're not wanting to get closer to God. God doesn't do that to us, and we shouldn't do it to our children. That it may be, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Even though Paul doesn't directly speak of the parental walk, he speaks of it in picture in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Now watch this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I remember when I came across Proverbs as a young Christian, I didn't have any father in my life. And I started reading that and I started seeing certain things there about my son, my son. I think there's 20-some references directly. My son of sinners entice thee, consent thou not. When you don't have a parental walk with a child, then guess what you do have? When my mother and father forsake me, what? Then God steps in. God wants everybody to have a home. But when there isn't a home, then guess what there is? There ought to be a church. And for where there isn't a church, it ought to, or for where there isn't a home, the church can make up for that. I've had many father figures in the church. I've had many mother figures in the church. I've had many sibling figures in the church. Why? Because where God sees the failure, He provides the church. That's why countries ought to have a local church. We see the parental walk. Again, there's no part of our walk with God that should not manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and it should start in the home. The next perimeter of the fruit of the Spirit is not just our personal walk, our partnered walk, our parental walk. And here's our last one. It's our public walk. The fruit of the Spirit covers every perimeter we will encounter in our walk. Our personal walk, our partnered walk, our parental walk. If there was more partnered walks, we wouldn't have as much of a divorce rate as we have. And when we have a divorce rate like we do, we have fatherless homes and motherless homes. And you know what the devil does? He glories in that. Because the whole concept of the husband-wife as a picture of the bride of Christ, and I've said this many times, God is a three-part, the triune God. God the Father is the presence of the Father in the home. God is always present in my life as a believer. When Rodney said to me, God the Father loves you, I laughed at him. He said, if He does, then He has a sick sense of humor because I never had a father. Now there has to be more witness in my life. Now there has to be more light in my life. What? Showing me what the Father looks like. Because Brother Mike, Lizzie, who doesn't have one, has one. So you are a demonstration of what the Heavenly Father looks like so that one day, she's not guaranteed salvation. She'll find that through the walk, the fruit of the Spirit, the parental walk, the public walk, the personal walk that you have. I saw God in my father, Michael. And you can bring her to Christ. You're not going to get that without that. Public walk. We've seen a personal, partner, parental, and a public walk. Everyone and everybody should be impacted by God in us, the hope of glory. And if that is not a convicting thought, I do not know of another. I'm sure we've read these verses of Scripture. Galatians 5, verse 1. Paul says to this church, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is a public walk. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall not profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you have justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith with which worketh by love. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cameth not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He's talking of a public walk. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of Christ ceased. He's talking about not that, this law that they were to keep. He's talking about the circumcision of the heart, our public walk, what people see of us. It's not in the keeping of the law. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Here's that walk. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. First fruit of the Spirit. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And then in Ephesians, we just read this passage of Scripture. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh. So here's a question and we're done. We see in this study, if you will, the fruit of the Spirit. We have a great respect. You can't walk out of here this morning and say, I have a great responsibility. That's convicting. Because what else it does, if you're walking with God enough, then in that time of preaching, He does something that's very unique and it happens nowhere else. But in the presence of reading the Word of God and publicly in preaching, God begins to, and I'll tell you what, God, this week I didn't do that right. Publicly, I wasn't filled with the Spirit. I remember how I addressed that person. I remember how I did that. I remember that time I pulled up beside that person. I was beeping my horn going, wah, 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 wah. I mean, there's so many times. Listen, all of us have those moments. But the closer, that's why morning devotions are important. You've got to, what's that verse? I wish one of them Mike Baldwin quotes. If you'll meet with God in the morning, you'll be able to deal with men in the daytime. I don't know how that, something to that effect. But if you don't, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going off the steam of who you are. And that is only going to last so long. And that is what's so convicting. And I don't know. Listen, I lived for 27 years. I said this last time. 27 years trying to get it done my own way. And it just didn't work. And I started seeing Rodney Pruitt. I remember we were driving police officers with a little cussing jar, Brother Mike. Cody just born. He doesn't need his dad cussing like a sailor. How about if we just try and help one another? Yeah, you know how many quarters I put in that stupid thing? And then all of a sudden, what takes place? Rodney leads me to Christ. And I get saved, and before you know it, what? Now, has that filthy water come out of my mouth? Sure it has. You know when? When I wasn't walking in the Spirit. That's why we see Paul say, I die daily. There's not a one in here this morning on the sound of my voice that hasn't failed God this week. And so the invitation and the impetus is, God, I need you to help me more. There's too much Michael and not enough Christ. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Lord, as I look and review my life this week, there's times I could have been more gentle, kind, patient, loving. And Lord, so I'd ask you to help me. This world doesn't need a Mike Lovett that keeps all the laws. This world needs a Michael Lovett that loves God and allows God to manifest Himself in those areas where we can't do it. We come to you and say, God, I can't do it, but I can do it if I'll surrender to you. Or there's a world out there lost and they are not coming to you if they don't see you in us. So help us, God. Help us to manifest. God, you manifest those things. Help us to yield to your work in our lives. Be obedient to what you say. Or we can be selfish and say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. But that is not the nature of a Christian. So individually speak to us as only you know how, and help us today, whatever it may be, that we'd yield it to you. And it might not be a transformation today, but it'd be the start of a journey where we say, Lord, there's areas in my life that need working on. And I give myself to you for you to work on those areas in my life. Or there might be somebody in here this morning, Lord, doesn't know you as Savior, and I pray something was said today. That it's going to be a whole lot easier to live life being spirit controlled than to allow the flesh to live. So help us in whatever need we have this morning, I plead. In Christ's name we pray.